1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 2 and 15. Whole day. Pneumatikos. Anachrone. Ta. Now, when it's in brackets like that, what does that mean? What have I taught you about that? It means it was not there in the original language, in the original manuscripts. But it's understood anyway. And some of the later manuscripts have it in there because it's understood and they just put it in later manuscripts. But really, it wasn't there. And then Ponta, Autos, Dei, Keep, Udenos, Anakernete. Now let's look and see what we've got here. But the spiritual things, he sifts together and discerns. It literally means the what? What does that mean? What's ana mean? Ana. 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 Up or again. Up or again. And krene, we got our word critique from that word. Critique, when you critique, what do you do with something when you critique it? You judge it. So this means to judge together, to judge up. Now, one of the best examples of this word right here, how many of you have ever panned gold? Anyone here ever panned gold? Brother Archer, you panned gold? Anyone else around here panned gold? All right, you girls, all right. What do you do when you pan gold? You put a bunch of material in the pan and you can either dry pan it or you can wet pan it with water running. How many of you ever dry panned anything? That's more difficult. All right. What you do is you sift and everything falls off, all the big stuff. And what goes to the bottom? The heaviest metal. And you'll get this black dirt there, and in that black dirt, the heaviest part of it will be gold. All right. And that's basically what it's talking about here, is like panning out. Pan out. The things all, and then Mulberhe, by no one is discerned. Thoroughly sifted. Look at that word, thoroughly sifted, discerned, anakrenete. Third person singular, present, indicative, passive. And the first one there, anakrene, is third person singular, present, indicative, active. All right? Now, the Apostle Paul, what he's doing here is he's just about to attack this church. He's about to attack the theology of this church. They have a whole lot of problems in this church. More problems than a math book, so to speak. All right? And the first two chapters that we've studied here, he basically lays out some things, some spiritual things, and now he's getting ready to step on them like a bug. He's ready to squash them. And now there's going to be a lot of condemnation. And the things that we see here in this church are in many modern churches today. And Paul, by inspiration of God, it's going to give us the answers for all of this. The answers. Now, Gabrielle, do you have that? You've got your little amplified Bible there? Could you come up here and read that for us in there so we can... All right. 15.
Okay. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things. Yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him.
Thank you very much. Now, what do you think Paul's talking about right here? What do you think he's talking about? Brother Randall, you know? Got an idea? Anyone got an idea what's happening right here in this verse? Paul is telling these church members that a church member is beyond the world. The world has no idea how to judge you. Do you know that? Spiritual people are to be judged spiritually by other spiritual people. That's it. Church members, we're about to get into the 18th chapter of Matthew, and in the 18th chapter of Matthew, the Lord starts talking about church discipline. In the 18th chapter of Matthew. And discipline in the church. Now, if you have two church members that are going to go to court in a go down there in Hell's Gate, of trucks that have, you know, right down there where the gates of hell are, okay? If you go down there on Truxton Avenue, I can guarantee you one thing. They have no idea how to judge a child of God. I can tell you that much right now. That's just the way it is. Okay? Nor should a child of God go down there and judge another child. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. You have no business going to war with words down at a courthouse. Take it before the church itself. And if you've got a problem, let the church members vote on it and see who's right and who's wrong. And then you abide by that because they're spiritual. All right? And who is the most powerful entity in the world today? As we studied on Sunday morning here a while back. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the administrators of God's kingdom in the world today. So why in the world would you want to go to court when the churches are administrators of God's kingdom? That's wrestling authority out of their hands that the church it belongs to the church. Now, if you've got somebody in Oklahoma and Texas, maybe you need to, and all the way out here to California, maybe you need to get those true churches together and discuss the problems. That's really silly compared to the world today, isn't it? If we went back to doing things God's way. That's different, isn't it? Different. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:1 and 14:37, Galatians 6:1 are cross-references to this. And then 2:16. Now let's look at this one. Tis, gar, egno, noon, to you, pulse, sim, bibase, auto, hemes, day, noon, Christo, ecomen. All right. Now we have a for who he knew. Now that's third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. What's the difference between second aorist and first aorist? What's the difference between first and second aorist? Do you remember? First aorist and second aorist. That's action, isn't it? Verbs have action in them. What does the aorist tense tell us? What's the aorist tense tell us? Brother Randall. How long it takes. The tenses tell you how long it takes, how long the verb lasted, whatever happened, okay, during that time. And the aorist tense tells us what? It's punctiliar action. Punctiliar is like that. Point time action. Now the difference between first and second aorist is that's very punctiliar action. And here, it's just a little bit more directive linear punctiliar action. Okay? That's the difference in it. Not much. What? That's between a dot and a dash. Like in Constant Wave or CW, you know, Morse code. Dot it. This is a bit da. All right? Did all. That's an A, by the way. A is did all. Dot it is a N. Bit da. But it's punctiliar action. But this is very sharp knife blade punctiliar action, first aorist. Just look at it this way. Very sharp and a little bit more durative. All right? For who knew? Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active, the mind of the Lord. Look at that word, nous, there. Now, How many words are there for mind in Greek? Paul is using, he's going to expound on the Greek language and use some different words. Nous, what does nous mean? Here it means the spiritual mind, all right? And there's nous, there's nome, sophia, boule, thelematos, and frame. These are all different words for mind in Greek. Nous we have here. And here Paul is talking about the spiritual mind, spiritual understanding. And who shall instruct? Now this basically comes from Isaiah 40 and verse 13. Isaiah 40 and verse 13. And this word here in Isaiah in Hebrew is third person masculine, PL, perfect. PL sim means what in Hebrew? Remember, Cindy?
Intensely.
Who is going to instruct, or who is going to critique, or who is going to mete out to him? And that says, we, the mind of Christ we have. The mind of Christ we have. And the first part of that one up here, tis gar egno, that word comes from nome. And the verb is gnosko. Gnosko, to know. All right. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Spiritually things are spiritually discerned. Who else has got amplified? You got that, Penny? You want to bring that up here real quick and read that right into this microphone? Romans 11:34 and John 15 and 15 and Acts 9 and 22 and 16 and 10. Philippians 2 and 5. 5 and Romans 8, 19 and 27 are cross-references this. Go ahead with that.
16.
Yes.
Okay. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart.
All right. Thank you. We have the mind of Christ. Listen, look at this word. Sim bibazo is where it comes from. Page 382, if you want to write that down in Analytical Greek Lexicon. And if you want to look up that Hebrew word in Brown, Driver, Briggs, it's on page 1067. And this word here means to demonstrate, to prove, to knit, or to unite. How many of you ever knitted something? You take a whole lot of... Yeah, thank you, Ken. When you take a whole lot of string or whatever and you put it together and form an object with it, that's what the idea is. Who shall instruct him? We, the mind of Christ, we have. Look at that one, first person plural, present, indicative, active. Those who have the mind of Christ also, God can instruct, can he? Now, it says, for who knew the Spirit of the Lord, the mind of the Lord? And in Hebrew, that's Ruah and then Jehovah. Spirit God. Spirit God. Spirit God. Spirit God. Let's go on now a little bit further. Now, we want you to understand something here before you go any further. Satan is pretty smart, isn't he? Satan knows how to throw stumbling blocks in front of you all the time, and he knows how to mess up your life. He knows how to thrash the world. We know that because he's done a pretty good job of it, hasn't he? For several thousand years. God's going to overcome it, though, one of these days, and he'll be in file 13. That's that place right there, the lake of fire. We'll be through with him. But as one can be spiritually minded, one can be evil minded. Evil minded. Have you ever seen anybody with an evil mind? With all intents of evil. All right. 3 and verse 1. We're in the third chapter now of 1 Corinthians. Carnality is a hindrance to spirituality. 3:1-4. Kago, Adelphoi, Uk, Adine Thane, Lalese, Himen, Hos, Pneumatikos, all Hos, and then I believe I left out something as Sarkinois, and then Hos, Napiois, in Christu. This is the first time he squashed the bugs. This is the first time that he stomps on them right here. Got to chapter 3 now, and he's going to really spank them. Paddle them. And I, brethren, now he calls them brothers. What does Adelphoi mean? That's an evocative plural, masculine, by the way. What does Adelphos mean? Comes from two Greek words. What? Ah, from the womb, from the same womb. That's what brother and sister means, Adelphos and Adelphi. So these are born children of God. And then he has a strong, adversive negative right here. Not I was able. Not I was powerful enough. No way possible. First person singular, first aorist, indicative passive. In no way possible was I caused to be able to speak lalese. What's lalese mean? It comes from laleo. What does that mean? Laleo. I want you to understand it because this is very, very important. Lego means what? Lego. Lego. This here? Laleo. Okay? There's a difference in them. Very important difference. Randall. He's got all the answers. All the time. Lego means what? Lego is like the bar in Hebrew. Lego and the bar are a lot alike. Okay? And it means to add, to stand things, to line them up. Lego means I pick out words and I put them in a row so I can understand. I pick out words from my mind so I can convey them to you out of my vocabulary and my recall. I will pick out words and I'll line them up one after another, just like you would fence posts or soldiers in a front line or whatever else. Okay? Bricks in a wall. Fence post, a picket fence. That's Lego. And the same thing with the bar. The Hebrew word looks like this. The bar. It's backwards, of course, from right to left. Both of them mean pretty much the same thing. But what is laleo? This is very important. What is laleo? What does that mean? This means I speak, but this means I speak also. All right? But what's the difference between them? What's the difference between laleo? Laleo means to speak with human functions. With a tongue, with a palate, with the teeth, with the vocal cords, by means of human vehicle. God spoke to us through how many different writers? About 39 or 40 different writers. Okay? Over a period of time of about 1,500 years to give us the Bible. But one time, He sent His Son down to speak to us by means of human vehicle of speech in His Son. All right? He spoke to us by means of human. He sometimes would send angels that would convey thought. But one time, He spoke to us with a human vehicle, which was His Son, Himself. Not I was able to speak in any human way. I was not powerful enough. It was not possible for me to speak to you as to one's spiritual. Pneumatikos, as one spiritual. Because you are not spiritual, he said. You are not spiritual. You are carnal. but as sarkinois, to fleshly, carnal-minded, as speechless babies in Christ. Look at that word, napios. Now let's think of the different words for child in Greek. Boy, I tell you, that black thing there, that thing really writes indelibly. It's got grease in it or something. All right. Words for child. Technos. What does that mean? What does it mean? That means a live birth. Okay? That means a born, a live birth, that you gave birth. It's like this. In Hebrew, yilat. All right? To bring forth. A live birth. Okay? And what else? What's another word? Braphos? What does that mean? Braphos. We get our word brief from this word. Okay? Brief. What does brief mean? What is the name of an Old Testament saint by this name? Huh? What? What's the Old Testament name that his name meant brief? Just the vapor. He got killed by his brother, Abel. His name meant brief. Just a short time, short lived. Brief. Braphos. Braphos is an infant. An infant even in the womb, an infant. Alright? Braphos. We got technos, we got braphos, and then we got the word we looked at quite a little bit, wheels. What's wheels mean? That's the heir. The heir. All right? The heir. Basically, the firstborn. The heir. And then what else word? What other word do we have? Paideon. What is a paideon? Paideon. Huh? That's one you whip. That's a child big enough that you start correcting him. It means to whip or to correct. Pedagogue is where you send a child to be trained up, where he learns discipline. This is a child old enough to be disciplined. All right? One, in the Hebrew it says a tripping gate. Then what do we have here? Napios. A napios is a child that cannot talk. He's so young that he cannot speak. Now, mamas, young lady, you've got some two beautiful girls there. Now, when they were babies, how old was Gabrielle before she started saying her first words? You remember? You don't remember? All right. Michelle, do you have any children? No? Oh, you do. Okay. How many? Not my 9 months old. I think Dakota was about 6 months old. She started talking. They say boys talk later than girls. All right. And girls talk more. All right. Napios is a baby that's not old enough to communicate. Now, babies do. Young lady, do you have babies too? Do you have children?
Yeah, I have children.
You have children, yeah.
I have grandchildren.
Grandchildren? Now, how old were they when they started to talk?
Our daughter was only maybe 6 months old.
About 6 months old.
Say hi.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, Penny, you've had children. What time did they start talking?
Gosh, I don't know when they first spoke. I
know
it was pretty
slow. People what?
I think it was slow. We were in a pretty school class with little kids, and the teachers were teenage girls, and they had these little kids that were really preschoolers.
Uh-huh.
They memorized the book of the Bible, okay? Mm-hmm. And Tim was supposed to be memorizing. He was about three, I think. And I said, forget that. So finally, the girl came to me. She said, was Tim talking? And I said, no. She said, oh, well, no wonder.
Well, when I was a little boy, I didn't talk much either. I had an uncle, Bad Bill. You ever heard of Bad Bill? That's my uncle who was so mean, killed people and all this kind of stuff, old Bad Bill, that finally got saved on his deathbed almost. Bill was 7 years old before he ever spoke the first word because he was stubborn. When he'd come up, if he wanted something to eat, he'd say, mm. If he wanted something to drink, he'd say, That was all the communication there was. Finally, they got the doctor over to the house and asked him, examine him, and is there something wrong with him? And he examined him and everything else and checked him all out, and he said, yeah, he's stubborn. He's stubborn. Separate him from all the other children and do not give him anything to eat or drink until he asks for it. 2 days later, he perfectly spoke the words, water. He could speak, but he didn't want to communicate. Speechless babies. These were all Uncle Bill's right here. They didn't talk. They weren't able to be spoken to spiritually. How long did Apostle Paul spend at Corinth to begin with? How long did he spend building the church? 2 years. 2 years he spent in Corinth. Building these people. Now just remember what kind of people the Corinthians were. When you Corinthianized something, what did you do? Huh? You corrupted it. It was corrupt. It was dishonest. It was no good. He was a thief, a liar, and a cheat. And that's the way it was. The most immoral, ungodly bunch that he could ever go among to Christianize. Paul liked challenges, didn't he? And this was a challenge. This place was a challenge. Speechless babies in Christ. Not technos, wheels, graphos, pideon, but napios. Speechless babies in Christ. Now we have another word here in 3 and verse 1 now. And we'll go on a little bit and then we'll get somebody up here to read this in the Amplified Bible. Gala. Hola. Gala. Himas. Epotisa. U. Broma. Upo. Gar. Adeneste. All ude ete neen dinaste. Milk. What do you feed a baby when he's born or she's born? Milk. Milk. That's all they can eat to begin with. And just milk. Usually mother's milk. That's it. Milk. It's chalav. Chalav in Hebrew, chalav. There's another word in Hebrew, matzats. It means milk, but it means to wring and or to suck. The action of getting milk. How many of you ever milked a cow? Anybody ever milked a cow? You've milked a cow, Michelle. I really know how to milk a cow and a goat. That's what the idea is in Hebrew. It's the milk. All right? Right here it says, ye milk I gave to drink. I have given you milk to drink. Babies, you feed them milk. First person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. Potizo. That means to give to drink. I gave you milk to drink. Adverb of negation, page 294. Not broma. Not broma. Hebrew she'er, alright, means meat. And lehem means bread or meat sometimes. Here we have broma. Remember the old stuff called broma seltzer? Supposed to help your digesting and all that kind of stuff. Broma comes right out of this word right here, broma. Not food. You couldn't eat food. You couldn't eat what normal people eat. Upo then, for then ye kept on being unable. When they should have been eating meat and beans and bread and vegetables, they could only swallow milk. Only swallow milk. Digest it. You kept on being unable. Second person plural, imperfect indicative passive. You kept on being caused to be unable. And then we have a strong adversative conjunction. Page 15, that's alpha. And it's shortened here for what? Why did they short? What did they drop, leave the alpha off of the end of that for? What's that called? Remember what that's called? What?
Euphony.
Thank you, Randall. And then ude. Moreover, not. Neither. And then another little eti, adverb. Adverb. Neither yet. Now, another adverb of time. Look at that. Three adverbs in a row. Paul's really describing this action. Are ye able still? You're not able. Hebrews 5 and 15, 1 Peter 2 and 2, and John 16 and verse 12 for a cross-reference to this one. Paul's a little bit upset with him, isn't he? A little bit upset with this bunch. He spent 2 years there and walked off and left them like this, and now they're babies, still babies. When they ought to be teachers, they're babies. Eti? Gar? Sarkikoi? Este? Hupu? Gar? In? Himan? Zalos? Kai? Erase? Uki? Sarkoki? Or Sarkokoi, that is? Este? Kai? Kata? Anthropon? Peri patete? For still, at this time, another little adverb, fleshly ones ye are. Fleshly ones. That comes from Sarks. Fleshly ones. You are in the flesh, basar in Hebrew. In the flesh. Ye are and continue to be. Look at that word, este. Second person plural present indicative active from Amy. Ye keep on being still fleshly. Whereas, hupo, another adverb of conjunction, page 293 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. Gar, for in or among ye is jealousy, zelos. Look at that word jealousy, zelos. That means to boil. It means to ferment, and to boil. It means wrath. It means glowing. Glowing jealousy. You ever see someone that when you speak to them, they just light up. They glow with anger, ready to fight all the time. You had any students like that, Cindy? Not too many fighters, huh? They've already fought out in time they get to you, huh? Zealously. Zealous. We got a word zealot from that. You remember that Jesus had two zealots among his little church. Remember who those zealots were? Now, what is a zealot to begin with? Back then, they were assassins. Did you know that? They were assassins. The zealots were the people that went to Masada. These were the zealots. They are the ones that would catch a Roman soldier out and cut his throat or something. From this group is the group that went to Sicily. To Sicily. And where we have those Sicilian banquets. So, the Sicarii. All right, the Sicarii. These are the bunch. They were the zealots. They're the ones that they said they used to slip into the Sicilian banquets with that long, sharp knife and stick them right in the pit of the stomach, right up to their heart, and pull it out and walk off. Assassins. And that's what they would do. Who were the two disciples of Jesus that were of the Sicarii? Judas Iscariot and Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot. All right. Zealous. Ready to fight. These were the people that did not want to get along. They were going to they would lay down their lives at the instant to kill or be killed. And he's using this term about these people. Ardent, fervent rivalry and malice, jealousy, and a race. That means continuously with a contentious disposition. A quarrel or a wrangler, a brawler. All right? Quarrel, wrangle, and brawl. Now, this is a little critical lexicon in concordance to the English and Greek New Testament. Actually, it goes through the whole Bible. The Old and New Testament by Bullinger. All right? It's a very good book. Matter of fact, he puts things in here. This man can chase rabbits with you that hardly any other lexicon does in different places. If you want to learn what the word sin means, go to this book. All right? It'll chase rabbits with you. Right here, let's look at this word strife. He says, heres means contention, strife, and quarreling. To have a contentious spirit. What is the word in Hebrew for that? It's the word prince, isn't it? Sarah. We know that Sarah was pretty contentious and rival. She was very rivaling person. And then he has another word here. It means aretheia. Aretheia. Comes from the same root. It means labor for wages. To work for wages. Hence, it means like a labor union. What does a labor union do?
Fights with management.
They fight with management over wages, don't they? They contend for the workers. That's what unions are supposed to do. They're supposed to contend for the workers and fight for the workers. All right? He uses another word, antilogia. Antilogia. What do you think that word would be? These are all what we call synonyms to these words here. Antilogia. It means a controversy. It means to fight with words. To fight with words. That's what this church was doing. They were fighting with words. And the Hebrew and the Septuagint to this is the bar. All right? And Dayid. And then we have the word Make. And that means to fight and to battle with words. To fight and to battle with words. He has one other word down here. Philonekia. And here is where that word, one of our roots, comes from. What is word? Philo means what? Huh? I love. Philo means I love or I like. And then nekia. I love to fight. To love to fight. To love to argue. I had a man come into my home here a while back and I made a couple of statements about the Bible and everything like that. He said, let me get my side of the argument. And I said, wait a minute. I want you to understand this. I don't argue the Bible. I will teach you forever. But I do not argue scriptures. I don't have time to argue scriptures. I won't take time to argue scriptures. I will teach all you want to learn, but I will not argue with you. I will throw out information, and you either swallow it or you reject it, one or the other. Have at it. To fight with words, to love to fight with words. And then we have one other one. Logomaxia. What do you think that one means? Logos is what? words, and machia, also to fight with words, to fight with words. Now, this church was guilty of all of this. She was guilty of all of these things. For still fleshly ye are, whereas for in jealousy and in strife, they attracted angry people, contentious dispositions. Not fleshly ye are. And according to anthropos, what do you think that means? Like lost people, like the Adamic nature. Like Adamic nature. Like lost people you walk about. Like lost people you walk about. Peripatia. Comes from peripatio. You walk around. You go out in Corinth, and they can't tell you from lost people. They can't tell the church members from the world. It's not too good, is it? They're bank robbers. They're cheats and liars and thieves, and so are you. They're immoral, and so are you. 3 and verse 4. In Proverbs 23 and verse 23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Truth costs you something. It separates you from the world, doesn't it? Truth separates you from the world. Hotan, gar, lege, tis, ego, man, amy, palu, heteros, de, ego, apollo, uk, anthropoi, este. For whenever he says anyone, he may say, forever. Whenever anyone he may say, for himself, by the way, I, indeed, I am of Paul. I belong to Paul's group. Paul didn't like that. About 40 years ago, I preached a sermon in a church that I was building. Had a bad foundation. A real bad foundation. And it was time to preach this message right here. Either a church will accept a message like this, or they'll fight and wrangle themselves to death. That church finally thought itself out of existence. And it had it was really a growing body. But because of this, it destroyed itself. It was just like a cancer. It just spread and destroyed itself, and they fought themselves out of existence. What they needed to do was repent. They repented for the moment, but then it just got hotter and hotter and hotter, the anger did, until they destroyed the whole church. For I am a Paul. And a different one. Another kind. One of another kind, heteros. One of another kind, and I, Apollos. Apollos means what? What does Paul mean? What does his name mean? Little. Little. What did his name mean? What was his given name? Saul. What does Saul mean? Comes from Hebrew. Sheol. What? One asked for. The first king that Israel asked for was Saul, and he gave him one. By the way, the root for Saul and all of that is Sheol, which means the place of departed spirits, or the place asked about. Sheol, Hades, or hell. Alright? Now, old Paul was a child of Hades. He was a child of hell, and he says, God aborted me and brought me out of that. Stopped him in his tracks when he was on the way to Damascus to kill church members. Now, he's taking this old reprobate here, this old rascal that he had saved, and made him a founder of churches. Not only that, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, wasn't he? He was the pride of the Hebrew nation. And he became the missionary to the Gentiles. What a better choice. Could God have made a better choice than that? Not for the Jews or not for the Gentiles. I thank the Lord for Paul. But he, you know, we don't. They were people for 1,200 years that were called Paulicians. Paulicians. Not Christians, but Paulicians in church history. Cindy, you remember what that name means? Why they were called Paulicians? Because they had all the writings of the Apostle Paul. Not very many people had all of the books of the Bible back then. But these one group of people in the area of Turkey, they had all the writings of Paul. There was a man, I believe his name was Constantine. He came among these people over in Turkey, and by the way, it was against the law to have one page of the Bible. And he had the whole writings, had all the writings of the Apostle Paul. And he stayed in this home, and they hid him. And because they hid him, he made a copy of all of the Scriptures and gave to them. And these people for 1,200 years were called Paulicians. Paulicians. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to be called Paulicians, I want you to be called Christians. But they were called Paulicians. They left quite a niche in history. These people did. They were some of the most doctrinally sound people in history. Because Paul's writings did what? It built sound churches. All right? The Waldenses. How many of you heard of the Waldenses? They were the people in the valleys of the Piedmont. I talked about the other night, we talked about viciousness. Gotta turn this down deep. I'm keying over. We talked about viciousness. I talked about Charlie Bias, the Negro man Mullen Pruitt defended him, that he murdered this guy. They had a fight over a girl. He beat the guy up, left him on the ground, went back to his horse to get on the horse because he'd won the girl, and the guy came after him with a knife. He turned around, took the knife away from the guy, stabbed him in the chest, right in the heart, knocked him down on the ground, cut his throat one side and cut his throat on the other side, cut his head on both ways, cut his throat, and stabbed him in both eyes and left the knife in his head. That's a vicious killing. All right? The people that were called Paulicians that went into the valleys of Piedmont and hid for 1,000 years from Catholicism and everything. These people are the ones that the Mennonites came out of. The Mennonites and the Amish. They acted different than all the other people. The Catholic Church found those people back in those valleys. They found those people. And they went in there to kill every one of them. You know why? Because they followed the Scriptures. The Bible will make a difference. Buy the truth and sell it not. And they were willing to buy the truth and sell it not. How do you keep a person into the Catholic Church? How do you keep them? One thing, you keep the Bible out of their hands. That's one of the ways. That's what they did. The Catholic Church was founded upon dogma. The teachings of the Pope or their apostle. Not the Bible. They took the Bible out of the hands of the people by 300 and around 400 A.D. They changed the Bible from Greek, which was the common man's language, Koine Greek, that's what we're studying tonight, to Latin, which was only the educated, only the doctors and the lawyers and the politicians could read and write Latin. Only, you can, I don't know whether you know this or not, but you can go on the internet and you can buy Latin manuscripts of doctor's theses and master's theses that go all the way back to there in Latin. Cindy, have you ever looked at that? Ever heard about that? They have those. Still in existence. They were all written in Latin. The Catholic Church, by Jerome in Bethlehem, they had him translate all the Bible from Greek and Hebrew into Latin. and out of the hands of the common man. And if you were found with one page of the Bible in Greek or in Hebrew, you were a dead man. And these people had lived up there in the valleys of Pinot for over 1,000 years. And the Catholic Church sent an army in there, a vicious army. They told them, all the women you can rape, all the water you can steal, that's your wages. There was Colonel John Chivington that went in to Colorado and went into the bars of Colorado, and he picked up the lowest forms of crawling life to go in, and they were going to settle the Sioux problem. And he attacked Black Kettle Village at the Sand Creek Massacre and murdered all those people. They took those Indian women and they skinned them and they used their skins on their saddles. They ate their breasts, frying their breasts. They ate their brains. And that's exactly what they did in the valleys of the Piedmont. They did the same thing there. The same people. Because they didn't know God. Viciousness. Viciousness. Paulicians. Different ones. And I, Apollos. What does Apollos mean? We have the word Apollyon from this word, don't we? Apollyon. What's Apollyon mean? Apollyon. Destroyer. Apollos may have written the book of Hebrews. He was a great Greek mind. He was educated in Alexandria Greek. He was educated in classical and Koine Greek. He was a brilliant mind. But he didn't know Hebrew. And the writer of the book of Hebrews didn't know Hebrew. That's a problem. Apollos. Not men ye are. Let's go back and read this now up to where we are. Verse number 4 from the Amplified Bible. Brother Steve, you got that? Can you wander up here and read that for me? I want you to go from, is it verse number 1? 1 through 4. Talk right into this microphone.
However, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not strong enough to be ready for it, but even yet you are not strong enough to be ready for it. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wranglings and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not proving yourselves ordinary, unchanged men?
Thank you, brother. Ordinary, unchanged men, because they are followers, admittedly followers of men, not Christ. I'm going to tell you what, those Paulicians, those people that are called Paulicians, those Waldenses, those people followed the Lord. And they bought the truth and they did not sell it, as Proverbs says, but it cost them everything. 3 and verse 5. T un esten. Apollos. T de esten. Apollos. Diakonoi. D hon epistu sate. Kai ekosto. Hos ho kyrios edomen. Who therefore is Apollos? And who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Paulos? Nothing but servants, slaves, bought and paid for slaves, through whom ye believed. This slave. Paul the Apostle called himself a slave. Paulus Apostolos doulos, Christou Isou. Paul the Apostle, a bought and paid for slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many slaves you own there, Brother Don? You own any today? No? Huh? Oh, just one? Just one? She's a good one, though, isn't she? Slaves. We don't talk about owning people anymore, do we? Really? We don't know that they do in some parts of the world. They're still slaves. They're still slaves. Slaves through whom he believed. We ought to be proud to call ourselves slaves of Jesus Christ, shouldn't we? Slaves of the Lord. Even to each one as the Lord he gave. Romans 15, 16, 2 Corinthians 3, 3 and 6, and 4 and 1, 5, 18, 6, 4, Ephesians 3 and 7, Colossians 1, 25, 1 Timothy 1 and 12, Romans 12 and 6, and 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. Our cross-reference to this, in other words, this verse does not stand alone, does it? It doesn't stand alone. 3 and verse 6. Ego epitousa apollos epoitesim alla hothios yuxanen. For I planted, Apollos he watered, but the God he gives or he causes to grow. God causes the life to grow. In Genesis, the first chapter, in Genesis chapter 1, in the first chapter of Genesis, we have the earth being created, we have the earth being destroyed, and we have the earth being reconstructed. And there was a lot of plant life in here on the earth, and a lot of seeds and everything that had been destroyed. And it says that darkness was over all the faces of the deep. All right? All the faces of the deep. In Genesis 1 and 8, it says, Vayikra Elohim Larakia. And called Elohim the open space, the breathing space, the expanse, heavens, Hashemayim. And it says, Wahi, and became evening, and became morning, day second. And one in verse 9 says, Wayomer. See that one there, Anna? Wayomer? Do you remember that one? Wayomer Elohim Yikahu Hamayim. And he said, Elohim, shall be gathered together waters from under the heavens unto a standing place. One. And then shall be seen the dry land. All right, the dry land. Hayabasham. And it says, and it became so. And God called the dry land earth, and he called the waters seas. And it says, saw Elohim that it became good. Now we have in verse number 11, the law of sowing and reaping. And Galatians tells us that also. Be it not deceived, God is not mocked. Mocked whatsoever man sows, that same very thing shall he what? Reap. Wayomer Elohim Sade Haaretz Deshe Esev Masriah Zera. And he said, Elohim, cause to spring the earth, the grass seed, and the herb and vegetation, seeding seeds. The seeds are already there. But now God gives them germination life. Gives it life. The tree according to its fruit, making fruit. according to its species, which the seed is in it upon the earth, and it became so. Why, he can't. And then it says, and the earth calls the forth sprouts and herbs and vegetation, seeding seed after its species, and tree making fruit which according to its seed, after its species, and saw Elohim that keto, that good. All right. Now let's go back here. There's two kinds of life among mankind, isn't there? Dead life and spiritual life. Dead people and alive people. When you're born into this world, you're born dead, aren't you? You're born dead. All of us are what? By nature, sons of wrath. And then God sends forth His... And how do people get saved, by the way? How do people get saved? By the preaching of God's Word. By the preaching of God's Word. Remember that Ethiopian eunuch on the road there? And he was walking along there reading the book of Isaiah, and he said, someone came along and says, what are you reading? He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, well, I don't know. So somebody tells me how that's what it means. And he preached to him. Philip preached to the eunuch, and what happened to the eunuch? The Spirit God sprouted life in him. Spirit God sprouted life. And he was saved. And then he looked around, he saw a pool of water, and he said, what would hinder me from being baptized? So he went down and he baptized. That deacon baptized that eunuch in that water. By the way, they say that all of these people, that the Ethiopian eunuch was also, remember the man that carried the cross of Jesus? They were all one family. And they went back into Ethiopia and they built churches in church history. All right. I planted, Apollos watered, but what? Only God can cause life to grow. Only God can cause life to grow. God germinates the life. But the Spirit of God, I don't care how many people, Randall told me something here a while back that just jarred my thinking. You did. You just absolutely jarred me, Randall. I was grumbling that we didn't have, our camera wasn't working right. It was sitting there going, and it was on the video, wasn't it, brother? And I said, I wish I had enough money to have a decent camera. and put stuff out there like that. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Jim, he said, Jesus told his disciples one time, he told his little church, he had performed great miracles and everything else. And he says, one of these days, he said, you will do things greater than this. He said, just think about it for a minute. He said, there's four websites out there, and it's worldwide. And people are hearing the Word of God preached, and by the way, all of you are part of it. And it's going all over the world. And that's pretty great, isn't it? But you know something? No matter how many people are out there listening and being saved and being built up in the faith, it takes the Spirit of God to germinate that life. I don't do one bit of it. Even Randall, with all his hard work, he can't make life out there. We can't save people. Only God saves people. Only He can give life. And only He can add to His church. We preach. We do. We are to be faithful, aren't we? Faithful in what we do. And God, you just be faithful and you get the Word out there. Wherever you work, whatever you do, you get the Word out. You teach. You witness. Sometimes you're just simply a tool for people to watch. One old woman said one time, I'd rather watch a sermon than hear one any time. Watch a sermon. Watch how people live and what their life is. You ever see a person that made you want to be saved? Just looking at their lives. I did when I was young. I had a man and a woman that I watched that I loved very much. I stayed with them a lot. He was a preacher. And their lives really told me something. I wanted some of that. I wanted some of that. I saw all the wildness in life. Oh, I wanted some of that. That Christian life, that Christianity, I wanted some of that. Not so much for words, not from preaching or anything so much, but by their lives. And I started reading the Bible, and the Lord went to work on my heart. I'm a product of that. But it's God that keeps on causing to grow. Third person singular, imperfect indicative act. Look at that imperfect tense. What's imperfect tense mean? This keeps on going forever. This keeps on going forever. Gabriel, you want to come up and read those last two verses for me, please? We'll start on 3 and 7 and a week from, not a week, 2 weeks from today. Go ahead.
Okay.
3 and 4, 5 and 6, I think it is.
Okay. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos. Are you not proving yourselves ordinary, unchanged men? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Ministering servants, not head of parties, through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase.
And he gave the life. Thank you very much. He gave the life. God gives the life, not us. We don't do it. All we can do is sow the seed. God is going to make it grow. God will make it grow. Well, we'll start 3 and 7 next week. A week, 2 weeks from now. Thank you for enduring those hard seats. I hope the Lord, word of the Lord bless your hearts tonight. Brother Steve, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?